You are not preachers for profit, but you must profit the kingdom of God as preachers. None of you here, I assume, except maybe for Deacon, have a bachelor's or a master's or a doctorate in theology. Certainly none of you here have a doctorate in preaching like myself. None of you have been trained in preaching in the context of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, except for our good deacon here present. And so, by what right do you have to preach? On what basis and where? That's exactly the argument of Amaziah, priest of Bethel, toward Amos. At that time, prophets were paid by the king, generously, to be the king's prophet in Israel. And it was a difficult position to be in, because some kings preferred to hear what they wanted to hear, and not what God actually had to say to them. And so prophets paid by the king were torn. Do I tell the king what he wants to hear and continue in my job? Or do I tell him what God wants him to hear and possibly lose my job or even my life? And they're torn. They were priests and prophets for profit. In some Protestant traditions, that is still true today. The better the preacher, the more money they literally make. The worse they are, the smaller the community, and the less their income. Fortunately, and unfortunately in a sense, I'll get to that in a minute, in the Catholic tradition, we are paid the same whether we're pastors of a wealthy parish or a poor parish, whether we're horrible preachers or spectacular preachers. And unfortunately, too often, we're terrible preachers. But since people receive the Eucharist, they figured, at least I got something out of it. That's not the vision of God for preaching in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That is not my goal as I teach homiletics or preaching at the seminary with my doctorate in preaching. But nonetheless, homilies are too often something that you all must endure rather than something to experience and be blessed by. Even though we are paid, in a sense, to preach and to celebrate the sacraments more specifically. And we have been trained specifically in that toward that purpose, for better or for worse, the results. And so Amaziah, a prophet of the king, paid by him, has Amos come into the kingdom, and Amos is preaching not for profit. No one's paying him a penny. In fact, it's to his detriment and to the potential loss of his life, because he's warning the people, you are straying from God. You will be destroyed if you do not turn from your ways. Amaziah calls him out. Who are you to come into here and preach? Off with you, visionary. Go back to Judah. Earn your bread by prophesying elsewhere. This is my job. You're not taking it. I make good money, and I'm not going to be replaced. You haven't been appointed. You're not being paid. Get out of here. You have no training. You don't come from a line of prophets. You do not belong here. This is not your right. Get out. And in a sense, Amaziah is right. The king didn't call Amos to preach. No one was paying him to preach. And that wasn't his area, his region. It was Judah. But Amos tells him, you're right, Amaziah. I was no prophet, nor do I belong to a company of prophets. In fact, I was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamores. Sycamore trees bore a fruit that was inedible, bitter, awful. And tenders or dressers of sycamores would go up the trees and poke holes in the skin of the fruit, which would allow it to expand and ripen and become edible. It was the food of the poor, and the job that was entailed did not require much intellectual ability or training or academics like prophets, professional prophets do. He was a simple man who worked in the field. And yet, he says, the Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. He tells Amaziah, you're right, I'm not a prophet. I have no training, no background, no experience, and no one's paying me to do this. But God has called me, and I will not be silent. In a similar way, each and every one of you are called to be a prophet like Amos by virtue of your baptism and confirmation. It was God's vision from the Old Testament. even in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, where he talks about the foreshadowing, the forecoming of the gift of baptism. And I would write my law upon their hearts and put my spirit in them and turn their hearts of stone to hearts of flesh so that they might prophesy my word and bear witness to my spirit in the world. That's fulfilled through the sacrament of baptism. It was realized historically on the day of Pentecost and gifted to every baptized person. That is, you were anointed prophet, priest, and king. At the 11:30 Mass, because we have nothing after, and the 5:30 Mass on Saturday in Spanish, I will often have baptism during the Mass. And it's very intentional for many reasons, one of them being so that the people can hear again and again the liturgy of baptism, whereby after the pouring of water and Holy Spirit on the head of the child, I anoint the crown of the head of the child with sacred chrism, olive oil mixed with balsam perfume, a perfume from a tree of the region of Jesus, and then consecrated by the Archbishop during Holy Week. That sacred chrism is only used at the ordination of bishops poured upon their head, or the ordination of priests rubbed upon their hands, or at your confirmation with the sign of the cross on your forehead, or at the beginning at your baptism with the sign of the cross on the crown of your head. And when the priest, deacon, or bishop baptizes you, and he does so, he says, I anoint you priest, prophet, and king. Infants who cannot speak. Infants who cannot read. Infants who cannot be trained yet. And have no training then, of course. And yet they are anointed priest, prophet, and king. Because it is the will of God, revealed in Jesus Christ and rooted in the teachings of Vatican II, that every baptized person is meant to bear witness to Christ in the world. Amaziah is right. You are not trained to preach in Mass. And the Church is very clear in its teachings that no one besides ordained clergy are allowed to preach within the context of the Mass. Only deacons, priests, and bishops, who are given faculties to do so by the local ordinary, the bishop. No one else may preach in Mass, rightfully so. And even then, with such restrictions and training, we don't always do a very good job. So then where are you called to preach? The good news is, where you're called to preach requires no training, no degree in theology, no attending my classes on homiletics based on Vatican II and its teachings and until today. All it requires is a personal relationship with Jesus, that you know him personally, that you know how much he loves you, that you experience his life and love frequently in communion and confession, and that you live a life of prayer, of relationship, of friendship with Jesus, so that you can preach where I am not, where you can preach where people will never come to me, and that's out there in the world. You see, you come here to be fed, and you're sent out to be prophets out there where they can't hear me. Our speakers are not loud enough. We'd probably get complaints from our neighbors if they could hear me Sunday mornings early as they're recovering from whatever they did Saturday night here on Larimer Street. You're called as prophets, anointed by your baptism and then confirmation, to go out there and proclaim the good news of Christ's love for everyone. And a lot of people say, well, I can't say anything. I don't have a degree in theology. Well, you don't need to. All you got to do is talk about Jesus and your relationship with him. You know what? You don't even need to do that. If you go out into the world and you're simply hardworking and you're honest, you don't cheat your bosses, you give good example of what an honest, hard day's work looks like to your peers. You treat your peers at work with dignity and respect. Or as their boss, you treat them with dignity and respect, giving them a living wage and fair income and time off and good insurance. You're preaching the gospel without saying a word. When you go to school and kids start to gossip or make fun of someone and you cut them off, you defend the person being made fun of without ever mentioning the name Jesus. You're preaching. When someone's being bullied and you intervene and stop it or get help, you're preaching. When your friends in school are cheating and you refuse to do so, you're preaching. When you treat your teachers with respect, your bosses, your elders, you're preaching. When you help your parents at home and they don't ask you to, you're preaching. When you treat your kids with love and respect, when you put them first over your other interests and make them a priority in forming them in the faith, you're preaching. When you treat your wife with respect and dignity and show your daughters by doing so how women should be treated, you're preaching. When you show deference and love and respect to your husband, but also challenge him to become the man he's called to be, you're preaching. When you're driving on the road with your big sticker of Sacred Heart on the back window, and you don't cut people off or wave with fewer than five fingers, you're preaching. There are ways to preach that require no degree in theology. That's your vocation. All it requires is the fact that you've been baptized and confirmed to go out into the world, and when others have 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 beers, and you choose only to have 1 or 2, and you tell them, no, I don't need more, you're preaching. When you dress in a way that emphasizes the dignity of your person and not your parts, you're preaching. When you come to Mass wearing your Sunday best without saying a word, you're preaching. When you come to Mass early and spend time in prayer to prepare your heart and review the readings beforehand, you're preaching. When you stay after to give thanks, you're preaching. When you don't fight over parking spots in the church parking lot, and it happens all too often everywhere in the world, you're preaching. Those things don't require attending my classes at the seminary for a Master's in Divinity degree. It doesn't require any experience of theology or any knowledge of Scripture, only a knowledge of the eternal Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. When you know him personally, the forms of preaching I described come naturally. When you don't, we create scandal. We say one thing by being here on Sundays and the complete opposite by how we behave the rest of the week. None of us are called to be prophets for profit, not even me. Because at the end of the day, what makes my words have any power is not a doctorate of ministry in homiletics. It's a personal relationship with Jesus. When we preach from the heart with the love for him who has loved us first, you don't even need a doctorate to preach in Mass. You just need to know him. And if you know him, then preach, not for financial profit, but for profiting the kingdom of God and the church here on earth.